Log Talk Radio.
The dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
Welcome to the shadows
of the night zone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to
the night zone.
This is a live event.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling the transmission. For the next hour, and we will control all that you hear. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind into the shadows of the night. Tonight, we shall be looking deeper into the shadows of the night zone with a returning guest, Mr. Tim McKay from BibleProphecy.com. Bible Prophecy, the End Times. We shall examine the seven seals and discuss the writings of Matthew, Mark, Daniel, and Joel, as well as the book of Revelation. Tim McKay and Bible Prophecy Net. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Our live audience out there, if you would like to chat with our guest, the phone lines are open.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Or if you are a registered listener, come to the Blog Talk Radio site at www.blogtalkradio.com and search for the Night Zone webpage. Click the blue chat button and join us in the virtual studio. From there, it is merely a click away to talk to our guest.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTO, you are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Looking for a place to chat about UFOs? Well, tonight, after hours, Off the Record Party is at Finding the Truth on UFOs. The FTTO UFO chat channel on PalTalk. Check it out. We're in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking at the world around us, I want you all just to think of your neighbor. It's going to be a tough year, but we're going to get through it.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to another Night Zone. This one's probably one of my favorite ones to do throughout the year. Tim McKay. He was with us last year and brought the connections of Wormwood and Nibiru through the Bible prophecy. And tonight, Mr. McKay returns to the shadows of the Night Zone. And we're going to probe a little deeper here tonight into the Middle East troubles and tribulations. Good evening, Tim McKay. Welcome back to the Night Zone.
Hello, Colin. Am I on?
You are on the air, sir, yes.
Oh, great.
How are you tonight?
I called the right number.
You did. I'm glad you're feeling better, Tim. You came down with some flu earlier this month. I was a little worried about you.
Yeah, well, when you don't get sleep for a week, that tends to happen, doesn't it?
I hope you weren't getting sleep for a week out of good things, but I know it was because this flu was coming on, wasn't it?
Oh, it was just a bunch of things. But you know what the solution was I'll share with people was taking melatonin. Really powerful stuff. Looked great.
Melatonin. That's an interesting, that's a natural herb. So that's good. Hey, Tim, before we get into the meat of the show, I do, as I say, hope you're feeling better, and I hope you've got that cold beaten. But there's a lot of viral issues this winter. I've noticed that this seems to be very prevalent in our society.
Are you talking about what the news, like, which viral issues?
Well, just the viral issues, just a lot of flu and different strains.
Oh,
and
viral.
Viral.
Yeah, I thought you said Bible. No, I don't know. But down here in Costa Rica, we, it's sunny and warm, so don't have much problem with that, I think, as much as up there. Calgary's a little bit harsh, though.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the pre-call this afternoon, and we're sat here with about a foot of snow, heading down to minus 20 degrees Celsius tonight, and probably minus 30 by daybreak tomorrow. So, we're getting down there. We're getting down in the temperatures where very little lives. So hopefully it'll kill all these viruses. But I do want to thank you, Tim, for sparking a fire in me last year. That show in July that we did, I don't know exactly what Twig did, but I have this need to know what our ancestors knew about the end times. And each time I look for the answer, I always end up back on your site looking into the Bible. It always seems to be the core figure of what we do in our world.
Yeah, well, I think it's really the only hope that we have is to look to the Bible. I mean, here's a thing that I think people miss with the internet. We get so many messages passed around to us with all the different predictions. There's years always coming up. Well, even before 2012 became popular, there's been dates after dates. Of course, Y2K is one example. They had that 88 reasons why the end will be in 1988. And if you don't have the perspective on it that someone like me who's been watching it for a while does, you're going to fall for these things and not realize that historically, well, I mean, none of them have ever succeeded. So
right.
If we know that, we're... Go ahead.
There's always been the person, the end is nigh, life as we know it is, you know, about to end. We've seen those, what they used to call nuts on the street with the placards and that, and we used to scoff at them. But looking through into the Bible prophecies and into what the Bible has said and stated without no real coverage, it's just quite open that there's a lot going on that is fitting with the Bible and Revelations and Matthew, and it does seem to be sitting into place.
Well, yeah, I mean, whenever there's trouble, that's what people think, that's fulfilling the Bible. And, of course, we've got this huge economic problem on the scenes right now. And that's very typical for people to say, well, is this the start of the end? And, there's a prophecy in the Bible, very prominent, that America is going to fall. And most people aren't aware of that, most Christians. You know, I didn't learn that until I got onto shortwave radio in 1998, when I first got clued into that. But it is there. And the actual fact that I've seen is that none of these things are signs of the end, that economic trouble, the chaos and confusion that we see, different diseases, even these wars with Israel, these have been going on for a while. We just had that problem with Gaza, you know.
Right.
And those are, that actually is something that had to happen, I think, prophetically, because it says at some point that Israel is going to wipe out Gaza, and that's kind of getting into our subject tonight, that there is a tremendous amount of prophecy in the Bible about Middle East war coming. And we can kind of see some of that leading up to it. The Gaza evacuation that happened a few years ago, where Israel was occupying Gaza, and it was very costly to them. They had to keep a lot of troops there and spend a lot of money. They decided to pull out for various reasons. And, of course, everyone predicted this is what would happen, that then Gaza would be filled with terrorists, and they would start launching rockets from there, as they did. So, but that had to happen for this prophecy in the end times to come to pass, where it says that Gaza will be a devastation. And it's going to be, would have to be full of enemies for that to happen, for Israel to knock out its own territory as it was before. It was kind of a strange prophecy, but when that thing came to pass, we could see these things starting to happen and get set up for the end times. But that's actually just a side prophecy. What first got my attention on this whole section of the Bible that most Christians never even know about, I mean, to be honest, Christians know very little about prophecy. All they've heard about is this preacher of rapture. And probably most of the audience who's never really paid attention to prophecy is the same thing. They've heard about this, Tim LaHaye Left Behind series that popularized the preacher of rapture. But there's so much more in the Bible than the rapture, and this is one of them. And one of the key prophecies that got my attention, like I said, was this strange prophecy in Isaiah 17 that says Damascus will cease from being a city and become a ruinous heap. And for those that don't know, this is a very key and easy prophecy to see as unfulfilled, because Damascus is widely accepted as the oldest and continuously inhabited city, you know, the oldest city on the planet as far as they can tell. And as a point of fact, I bring this out in my book, that skeptics even list that as one of the prophecies to put on their list of arguments that the Bible is not true, because they say, look, Damascus is still here, and it says right here that it will cease to be a city. So, you know, just ignore the Bible, of course. So that's there, and when that got my attention, thanks to a teacher that had brought that up, I realized that here we have a very clearly unfulfilled prophecy, and when you look further, you'll find that there's a whole series of prophecies, not just about Damascus, but all the nations around Israel, that what it describes there is something pretty serious, to the point that it looks like it's describing the first nuclear war that we're going to see take place. Of course, Hiroshima and Nagasaki was pretty much one-sided blasting, you know, not exactly a nuclear war, but one where, you know, multiple cities are going to be knocked out, and for a reason that the enemy was, you know, getting too close to Israel. And Israel being a nation that's only 12 miles wide, I think, is something like that at its most narrow point. It doesn't have a lot of room, you know, for error when the enemy's getting close and about to cross over the borders.
And there has always been prophecy ever since Israel was created. Ever since Balfour declarations cut up the Middle East into territories, as they did, creating Jordan and Lebanon and a few of the other states. Since then, there has been an unrest and an unsatisfaction, if you will.
Absolutely.
We've heard it coming many, many times, but I think this time it's probably the closest to coming to reality, that Israel will not permit Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And given that, it's pretty well a done deal. It's only a matter of time, yet it was written in the Bible when? How did they know that this time is nigh? That just blows me out of the water, how they knew then what is happening now.
Yeah, it was written way back when Ishmael was born, and the son of Hagar, that the descendants would be wild asses of men who would be at, you know, their hand would be against their brothers. You know, it basically describes the modern Arab, their religion of Islam, which has truly, I think, taken peace from the earth. I heard a statistic once that just about every war that we've had in the recent centuries, you can tie to Islam, because it's had that antagonistic, belligerent nature to it. And
now you were referring to Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, and Zechariah 12 when you were talking about the prophecy for the Middle East, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That may surprise people when they hear that Psalm 83 is a prophecy, but there are actually several prophecies in the Psalms. And
right.
That one is very interesting because it goes down and it gives a list of nations that are all, you can identify them. It's got some ancient names to them, but you can map them out to the enemies of Israel that surround her to this day. And it says it's actually a plea from the psalmist that God delivers justice and actually takes down these other nations because they say, come, let us wipe out Israel as a nation so that her name will no longer be remembered. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it, when you listen to the news in the last few years?
it sounds pretty scary that they can be so accurate from, what are we looking at, 2,700 years? Maybe
right.
More.
Thereabouts.
Because
yep.
It's about 400 before the birth of Christ in certain instances, like Enoch, for instance, mm-hmm. and Jude and Zechariah, for that matter. So these are well before the birth of Christ. So we're looking at a good 2,500 years worth of information that is so spot on. It is almost scary. It's almost
right, and
it's almost prophetic.
So to speak. Well, that is one of the biggest proofs of the Bible being something that came out outside of the mind of man from the mind of God, as it claims to be. That's a great proof for it.
Right.
There's been the whole track of history with all the empires, from starting with Babylon, Egypt, Media Persia, the Roman Empire. All those things have been there. So if you take the time to look at the Bible and investigate it, there's no discounting that there's something supernatural going on there.
Makes sense to me, that's for sure. Tell you what, Tim, just hang in there, sir. I'm going to put you on a quick hold. We're going to take a first quick break, and we'll be right back in just a few.
2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. With Tim McHyde in the Night Zone.
The phone lines are open.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Or if you are a registered listener for the Night Zone webpage, click the blue chat button and join us in the virtual studio. From there, it is merely a click away.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTO.
We all have busy lives, and sometimes we just can't get to the computer when we want to. Sometimes programs schedule at a time and a place an event when we just can't be there. But never fear, Blog Talk Radio have figured an answer. Yep, you can go to any of your favorite radio shows on blogtalkradio.com and download their archives or their player, and voila, you have access to your favorite shows. It's as easy as that.
You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
And you are in the Night Zone, as soon as Blog Talk lets me take myself off pause. And we are in the Night Zone with Tim McHyde, and we're talking about Bible prophecy and the prophecies of the Middle East. So the Bible states in no uncertain terms, Tim, that there's going to be an event. Now, where in the end times would this event be taking place?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Everybody wants to know when.
Right.
Well, Jesus made that very clear that we're not going to know fixed dates, and that nobody can use the Bible to set dates. Of course, people have ignored that and gone right along and set dates anyway. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is pretty good. It's almost as good as having a set date. The Bible gives us this kind of roadmap, I call it, of the 70th week, the final 7 years, and we know in the middle of that there's going to be this great tribulation beginning, And before that, the Antichrist takes power, and he cuts off the sacrifices that will resume the future. Of course, there's no temple right now, and there's no altar, and there's no sacrifices, but that is expected to come together. And there's rumors of preparations already done on that point. And then he takes power right after that. Before that can happen, there's a gathering of God's servants that the Bible talks about, and this is actually the alternative to the pre-trib rapture idea. There is no pre-trib rapture. There is a rapture that's after the tribulation, and what I point out to people is that it's to reward the servants. It's not to save anybody. And
so these are the white robes.
Yeah, those are the ones that she was in white robes. They at the rapture they become glorified, just like Jesus was when he was resurrected, and that way they can reign for 1,000 years. And live forever, basically, at that point. So before that can happen, there has to be this gathering of God's servants to safety, because they're going to have to go through the tribulation. That much is clear, just like every generation of saints in the Bible. They've not been taken from the earth. They've gone through. And for that to happen, there has to be this gathering through a prophet. We're promised this end time Elijah. And it actually says he's gathering them to Judea. But there's a big problem with that in the present scene, of course. Just about few people can get into Israel today and stay there, because they're limiting it to Jewish descent, and you have to be able to prove that or have a rabbi endorse that you've converted. So it's kind of a closed door right now. So something has to change. And what I see that could allow for that is this Middle East war. So when you put all those things together and you deduct it out, it seems like this thing has to happen very close to the beginning of this last 7 years, so that things can change in Israel and allow for non-Jews to somehow immigrate to Israel and be there for the time period that they need to be there, and then to move on from there for the tribulation to the next place for safety that's set up. So
okay.
It looks like...
So you're thinking that... that this war act, this act of war, would commence at the beginning of the beginning of the seals, as opposed to the end.
Not the seals, but yeah, the beginning of the last seven years, the 70th week of Daniel. That's my best deduction. This is one of the things that it doesn't. This war is not even in the Book of Revelation. That's another reason people miss it. It's only in the Old Testament prophecies. So the way the Bible's set up is it's made hard on purpose, so we have to use careful reasoning, deduction, to kind of put the pieces together that we have that are clear, and then the pieces of the puzzle that are less clear, we fit in where they make sense after that. And that's where I see this fitting, although it could happen any time, and maybe there's a gap after the war. That I don't know, but it has to come before just about everything else, that much I do know. So that's why I talk about this in my book. It's pretty much the next prophecy that we should see fulfilled is this nuclear Middle East war. And the interesting thing about it, not surprisingly, Israel wins. And it seems to indicate it actually takes place in just a single day. There's a one prophecy, I think it's, Isaiah? Might be 17 or 34, where it talks about at the evening time, the onslaught of the enemies united against Israel come, and then it says by morning they're not. They're not completely obliterated by that point. And Psalm 83 also says that they're like chaff on the mountains of flames of blaze. It says through the mountains a tempest and a terrifying storm. Some of these things that you would expect with a nuclear blast on armies, as you would have like a storm effect from the wind.
So it is. It is explaining an overpowering force that happens very quickly without any remorse, basically.
Oh yeah, it even says make them like a tumbleweed, like straw before the wind, as fire burns a forest, as flame blazes through mountains. This is Psalm 83. So pursue them with your tempest, and that's pretty strong. Strong language. I think the King James says like a torch among the sheaves, in Revelation, in Zechariah 12, it says that one. So I think that's a pretty good description of a nuclear weapon on the enemies.
It's certainly a description of something that we hope never to be on the other end of, that's for sure. No matter how they shoot it with fire and brimstone or the cataclysmic event, it is clear that that this is pretty serious stuff that they're talking about. Some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, pretty serious, and I think the reason for it we can already understand. There's this policy in Israel, their nuclear policy. You probably have heard that they have nuclear weapons, but they've got this policy of ambiguity on it, so that they neither confirm nor deny it, but everybody knows they have it. And the fact of the matter with the wars about her enemies coming against her is there hasn't been this unified type of war that Psalm 83 describes since 1973, the Yom Kippur War.
Right.
And it was a little bit before that Israel was known to have gained her weapons and have a serious arsenal. And my personal opinion is that the reason that we haven't seen another unified assault by the Arabs, I mean, they had that in 1973, they had the one in 1967, which is a six-day war. And before that, they had, of course, that you mentioned, the Balfour Declaration, and then the nation being formed in 1948. Immediately, the Arabs got together and attacked. And in each case, they lost. So, they were kind of discouraged from doing it again. But it's in the Bible that it's in their heart and it's in their culture to hate Israel and want to wipe her out. It's been there forever. And I think the only thing that's kept them at bay all this time since 1973, I think, is that the growing awareness of this nuclear power that Israel has and their willingness to use it.
And do you think that's why Iran is on this cataclysmic course to gain?
Oh, I lost you. Hello?
Yep,
oh,
we're back.
There we are.
I'm sorry.
We're back.
Do you think that's...
Yes.
Do you think that's where Iran has come up with this need for a nuclear weapon?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, says that they need to wipe Israel off the map or something like that, there's some contention as to what exactly he said in Iranian translated to English. But I think that's the only way they can do it. They have to have some kind of parity with Israel on the nuclear weapon front, at least get them mad. Mutually assured destruction is better than mutually single assured destruction on their side, right?
Yeah.
So
this being a martyr is one thing, but being a martyr with no chance of making a difference, I can see that. Tim, just hang in there. We're going to take a quick bottom of the hour break. And we'll
even
be right back.
Assyria has joined them. They lend support to the sons of Lot, Selah. After this pause for the cause, we'll be back with Tim McKide and the Bible Prophecies and the Middle East right after this. All background music and bumps can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man.
But never fear, people out there, it's not all doom and gloom. There is a sunny side of the street, and we'll be right back to talk about it.
Tonight, we shall be looking deeper into the shadows of the Night Zone with a returning guest, Mr. Tim McKide from BibleProphecy.com, Bible Prophecy, The End Times, and discuss the writings of Matthew, Mark, Daniel, and Joel, as well as the Book of Revelations. Tim McKide and Bible Prophecy next. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. The Shadows of the Night Zone, John Hogue of HogueProphecy.com returns with Predictions 2009. From HopeProphecy.com, John Holmes.
The phone lines are open.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Or if you are a registered listener for the Night Zone webpage, click the blue chat button and join us in the virtual studio. From there, it is merely a click away.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone.
We all have busy lives, and sometimes we just can't get to the computer when we want to. Sometimes programs schedule at a time and a place an event when we just can't be there. But never fear, Blog Talk Radio have figured an answer. Yep, you can go to any of your favorite radio shows on blogtalkradio.com and download their archives or their player, and voila, you have access to your favorite shows. It's as easy as that.
You're in the Night Zone. We'll call it night.
And you are in the Night Zone with Call It Night, and I have with me tonight Tim McHyde, and we're going through the Bible prophecies regarding the Middle East. Tim, in doing research for tonight's show, I came upon a statement which just stood out at me and kind of rattled my brain, and I had to kind of take it in. And the statement was, cataclysmic celestial events will take place before Christ's return and his gathering of the elect. Now, this to me clearly foretells of either Wormwood or Nibiru or a sun episode causing a pole shift of some kind. How do you read that?
Where did you read that statement?
I'm trying to remember where I pulled it from or where my people pulled it from, but it was a statement, cataclysmic celestial events will take place before Christ's return.
Yeah, well, it's not a direct quote from the Bible, of course, but it's a good summation of exactly what we see in Revelation and also the Olivet Discourse, you know, Matthew 24, where Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple, and then he goes through a litany of things that must happen before his final return, and he talks about the sun going dark, and the moon going dark, and then sign of the Son of the Man. There's two different sets of these cosmic events. There's the ones that I just described at the end of the age, right before he returns, and he actually returns just before all life would be lost, and it seems connected to those celestial events. But the one before that is the one that I believe comes after this Middle East war, is what it's called Wormwood in the Bible, which we touched on the last time we talked, but the so-called the Planet X, which is what is getting a lot of attention now because of 2012, they're connecting it with that, the Planet X folks.
Yeah, so, there's a user in our virtual studio, Return Viewers Guide, is saying Wormwood is going to roll down across in front of our moon again, the night of May the 21st on 2013. So, you know, the 2012-2013 window is very prevalent out there. And I guess Planet X is the easiest way to encapsulate all of the information, Nibiru, Planet X, Wormwood. But the Bible clearly states that there will be a celestial event of some kind, from what I can understand. Which will be almost the first trumpet, I would think, by the sounds of it.
Yep, that's exactly right. The first trumpet, and even before that, the sixth seal. You were touching on the seals before. Those are very misunderstood. Traditional Christian view is that the tribulation is 7 years long, and it starts with the first seal, and everybody's raptured out before that, basically Revelation 4. And of course, it's wrong. It doesn't work out with what the Bible says, but I believe that we've already passed for sure the fourth seal, and the first four seals are called the Four Horsemen, and they describe trends and events on Earth since the time of Christ, including a few religions, Islam, and other trends that, mass destruction being developed and things like that, peace from the Earth. Those all kind of fit. And next would be the fifth seal, which takes place in heaven, so it's hard to kind of know when that actually happens. It's exclusively up in heaven. It's a scene up there, but they sold under the altar. So the next one that we can know for sure has not happened is the sixth seal, and that one starts out with a great earthquake, so great it's over the entire Earth, and every mountain and island has moved out of its place. And then from smaller to larger objects start passing and then colliding with the Earth, and that's where the first trumpet begins, with all of the grass being burned up from a meteorite shower over the entire Earth. So, which is pretty devastating when you consider what the effects would be if we lost all the grasses. That means all the food, all the grains.
Pretty devastating, but it does clearly mark out that there is survival. Now, the chosen ones are protected in one form or another.
Yeah,
life does go on, yeah.
Well, life goes on for both the so-called wicked and the righteous. And the 144,000 you've all heard about, those are sealed right before that, right at the sixth seal. The timing is clear on that. That the winds are held back, it says at the chapter 7. Don't let these winds blow over the whole earth until those 144,000 are sealed. And that would fit very well with such a body passing the earth, because they talk about this pole shift coming where the earth kind of pivots. And that type of pivot would give you these tremendous winds all of a sudden from that.
Right.
So it all fits very well with that whole Planet X theory. And the only question is when again. And I really don't think 2012 is going to be anything except the London Olympics myself.
Yeah, I think I'd be amazed if we hit it correctly on the calendar that we have messed with over the last 1,600 years. We have danced this calendar around to fit our needs, something fierce. And I think we're now in the Julian calendar. It is the Julian calendar, and that is about the third or fourth incarnation of the date ranges that we've had over the last couple of thousand years. So I'm not convinced that 2012 is the bullseye, if you will. I think it's not up to man. I think it's not up to man to set that date, as it says in the Bible.
Right, and I think the demonic realm is inspiring some dates too, and I think they can have some accuracy on them. There's a lot of Catholic prophecies that are interesting that line up with the Bible, such as them saying that there's only one pope left after the current one, and that really syncs well with what the Bible says about how close we are. But, back to what I said at the start of the show, even if the calendar was 100% accurate, it still doesn't tell us how much time we have left. And historically, we've just been complete failures on setting dates and having them come to pass. And once you realize that, I think people can take a breath and get some peace and comfort, and not get panicked all the time when they see these dates coming by. And 2012, I think, is going to be the worst ones, because Y2K had a lot of people following it. But I just saw the other day that there's an agency preparing people for 2012. It was a really nice website, and it's some kind of consortium, and they're really taking it serious and offering help to people to help them plan for it. And I just couldn't believe how much this idea has snowballed all off of this, what the Mayans did in Central America on their calendar.
The ones that amaze me are the ones that are offering something on 2012, when supposedly it's the end of the world, so why are they trying to make a buck up to 2012? So I get a kick out of, there's a number of those sites that are just trying to peddle the ware.
Well, I get that complaint sometimes with me selling my book, and people say, what do you need the money for if the end's coming? But, you know, we need money now, all of us. Why do you go to work?
You have to live until then, yeah.
Yeah.
Because what if we've got it wrong? What if it's 2021 or 2041? Or, you know, we've declared unilaterally this date, either by Nostradamus prophecy or by some other Chubacan out of China. But we have emerged with this date. And as you say, who knows how accurate this darn thing could be?
Well, yeah. And historically, the problem has always been that people have not enough time, but they have too much money. I mean, sorry, they have too much time and not enough money, too much month and not enough money at the end of the month. And so that's what people need to plan for, the long range, not for these freak events that may happen.
Yeah, because there will be survival. I mean, it clearly does depict that there will be a survival. Yeah. This is not the end of the end. This is the end of one age and the beginning of another. That's the way I'm reading it, for sure.
Yeah, the end of the age is coming, and then the one after it is going to be a whole lot better. Yeah, that's what the Bible promises, and prophecy is not all about doom and gloom, and that's an important point to get across. There's really good news in it, and the point of it is to get our attention. You know, that's what gets a lot of people interested in reading their Bible.
And it's not a bad read once you get past the, I call it the mumbo jumbo, but once you start reading the actual story, the story is not a bad read. Not a bad read at all.
Yeah.
And I think many people are turned off because it's a religious read, when it's not really. It's a chronology of man, if you look at it in its raw terms.
Yeah, the Bible certainly has a bad rap because of Christianity and Judaism, which people assume, like pretty much they think that Christianity is the religion of the New Testament and Judaism is the religion of the Old Testament. And there are some definite inspirations coming from those two parts of the Bible. But in actuality, if you study it out, there's both of them are just basing things off of the traditions of the holy elders. And they, for the Christianity, it's the church fathers, and for the Jews, it's their sages and their rabbis from history. And they're really not based on the Bible. It's a shocking truth, but that's...
Unfortunately, man being as feeble as we are emotionally, we have made up a lot of stuff that just doesn't belong there. It's become part of our doctrine when it wasn't said or done.
And then the next person that comes along just assumes it's right, and they're indoctrinated with it, and they don't know how to question anything for themselves, so it just keeps going.
Right. It amazes me how the Middle East is so clearly identified after I read into your information, how clearly it is identified within the end times. And the more I look at it, Tim, the more I tend to believe that it would have to be such a devastating attack that there would be no reprisal. So nuclear would seem to be the option.
Yeah, that, I was trying to finish that out, that we already know that Israel has their Samson option, to use your word. It's the same label they put on it, that just as Samson, when he took out the story in the Judges about Samson, he was the one who his hair grew, and he was told not to cut it by the angel that talked to his parents before he was born, and that gave him super strength. And in the end of his life, of course, he allowed his hair to be cut, and he was captured, and they put out his eyes, and he prayed for God to give him the strength to have vengeance on his enemies. So he pushed the pillars in the temple where he was standing, and he took out more people in that instance of the Philistines than his whole entire life before, where he defeated them. And he died in the process, but it was a great last effort. And that's what the Samson option is about. It's Israel doing the same thing. If they're overrun with their borders and it's the end of their nation so easily, they're going to push the button and nuke all of the capitals of the Arab nations around them. So that's been the deterrent, I think, that's kept the peace. And it's not going to work forever. We know these things are coming to a head, and that Israel's going to eventually do that. And everybody predicts this, not just the Bible. It's like you said, it is amazing. Anybody that studies the Middle East can see this is where it's headed. And the Bible already told us how it's going to end up. So read your Bible.
And it seems like it's always been that way, Tim. And that's the crazy thing about it is we've denied it for so many years, and here we are coming to the end times, if you will, Planet X or whatever you wish to call it, and here it is looming just as it was prophesied in the Bible.
Yeah, it's been there all along, long, and people just don't read their Bibles. And
it's amazing. Hang in there, Tim. We'll do a quickie, and we'll be right back.
We're in the night zone on WorldTalkRadio.com. All background music and phones can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man.
And the King of the Son of Man, the fabulous style of writing throughout the Bible, at first is a little heavy, Tim. But once you get into the flow of it, it's an easy read. Once you get into the flow of their styles of the day.
Yeah, it gets easier as you go. I always tell people it's best to set their expectations properly, that the Bible is hard. It's very hard to understand. It's a huge book, and it even tells us why. It was written hard on purpose to conceal the meaning, and Jesus did the same thing when he did his ministry. He told people that he was speaking in parables, or he told his inner circle this, that he spoke in parables not to make his meaning easier, but to hide it from the masses. And
right.
What do we find is that all throughout history, people have misunderstood the parables and twisted them to come up with all kinds of wrong meanings and prophecies, like one of the famous ones, the fig tree parable, where he says, "This generation shall not pass." Just like if you watch the fig tree and the leaves go forth, you know that summer is nigh. And wouldn't you know that is turned into a prophecy about Israel being the fig tree in a typological sense,
right.
And that when she puts forth leaves, that was 1967, and then he says, "This generation shall not pass," so they plug in with all kinds of numbers for the generation. You know, the established one in the Bible is 40 years, but unfortunately, 1967 plus 40 is a date that's already passed, 2007. So what do? They go back to the drawing board and they come up with new numbers and keep hoping that this fig tree parable is a prophecy like they think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's very simple when you look at it, that it's saying that just like you can watch a fig tree and know that summer's nigh, in the same way, if you look at all these things I just explained about the coming of the Son of Man, the moon to darkness, and various wars and rumors of wars and all these things, if you see those things come together, all of them, then you know that I'm coming soon, just like summer would be coming soon. So we're not to watch the fig tree. We're to watch for all those things that you said in the like manner that you would watch the fig tree for summer.
Right.
So there's all kinds of ways to get tripped up. But, you know, I think now we can understand these things if we just search the Internet. And that's what I did. That's how I was able to learn make the strides that I did is just keep searching, because somebody's got the right idea on each question that you have as you're reading the Bible and you come across the giants and whatever, and you just look and you find the one that makes the most sense, and you just keep comparing. And it's amazing what you can learn. And, of course, you're going to fall for a lot of things that are wrong along the way. That's just the process of learning.
It took me a while, as I was getting ready for the show, Tim. It took me a while to try and understand where Iran came into the scope. You had passed on to me a suggestion of Psalm 83, and I couldn't find Iran. And then I realized, after reading some of your other information, that you had realized that that the Assyrian was actually part of the Iranian, what is now Iran.
Right, right. One of the names, Iran has a couple possible names because, you know, back in the Bible times, the divisions between the tribes and the groups back there are not exactly the same as we have Iran to the east of Iraq, which is to the east of Israel. You know, it doesn't quite fall. So you're going to have an overlap of what the older names of the tribes over there were to today. So there's a couple names you have to look up. And it does say that Iran is going to be, her fate is there. It's
right.
She's going to be devastated to the point that people evacuate the country. That's what I found when I was researching this. And it could be because of the nuclear destruction. They have to vacate it for a while.
And we have a question in our virtual studio from Lex, wondering if North Korea comes into play at all in any prophecies.
I don't know of any. It's not impossible, but of course the Bible tends to deal with Israel and then the nations that she comes into contact. And America is in prophecy too, but that one is of course one of the most important nations in history. So we have a very accurate description of that in Revelation 18 and many other chapters. But
right.
Korea, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is, and I can't really put that one together, whether there is any kind of a mention of them at all, but I do know that the book of Jeremiah also uses the name Elam to describe Iran. I thought that was fascinating.
Right, yeah.
And it's something you don't expect is to have to actually decode the name or understand the history of the region to understand the word of the prophecy.
Right. I lean on some experts. I quote my book, David Dolan, who's done a lot of research in that area to decode some of those things. But that's, again, back to my point. You know, you can research these things on the Internet and find people that know that specific area and piece it together.
And I'm sure there's many, many views of the same passage. There's many theologians out there that have a totally different view as to what you and I would do. I mean, I'm a layman in this, and I'm just getting there, and I got to tell you that so far the journey has been pretty darn fantastic, and I've enjoyed your site tremendously, Tim. Now, what's the easiest way for our guests to be able to get to your site tonight?
EscapeAllThesethings.com. Those four words run together, and that's my main site.
EscapeAllThesethings.com.
That's right.
That's a catchy phrase.
Yeah, it actually comes from Luke 21:36. That was one of the first verses that I saw when I was starting to study prophecy earlier this decade, and it caught my attention because Jesus, with the prevailing pre-trib rapture idea is that all you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart and be a good Christian going to church and everything will work out. Right. And that's about it. But Luke 21:36, when you look at it carefully, it says, be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. There's a lot of things in there, but the main point is, what do you need strength for? Or alternative manuscripts say may be accounted worthy. What do you need those things for if it's just a matter of accepting Jesus and believing him and be whisked away into this preacher of rapture? I started to see, this would make sense if we're going to be on earth which is what I already concluded in other passages, then we would need the strength. You need faith, and you need to be able to actually run at some points from A to B and not faint to follow God's instructions, just like the Israelites had to do when they were led out of Egypt. You know, they had to have strength to get from Egypt to Israel.
And blind faith, blind, absolute, unconditional faith in the information you are receiving from your God is the information required for your salvation. Because there are many, fakes out there, and there will be many fakes that come to earth before the return of the Son of God, my understanding is.
Yeah, not unfailing faith, yes, but thankfully we don't need to have blind faith, because even back going back to Egypt with that story, they had a prophet of God come that he didn't just claim he was a prophet like we have so many people today doing. He had a snake, a staff he could throw down and turn into a snake. He had this other trick where he could put his hand in his vest and pull it out, and it would look leprous, and then put it back and it would be not leprous. He came with signs and wonders, as every prophet should. So anybody that wanted to see him prove that he was a prophet, he could provide the evidence, as well as what he said was according, you know, fit with what God would have done in the past and does in the future. So it's not quite blind faith. The evidence is there. Just like I said, we can look in the Bible and see that prophecy has been fulfilled, and we're supposed to use our brains.
Right. So for those people out there that do want to check into this a little deeper, make sure you do check Tim's website out. But also Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, and Zechariah 12. If you read those, it'll kind of give you an overview of where Tim is coming from with the prophecies of the Middle East. And the more I read about it, Tim, I think the more on the money your most recent book is. I think you've found the key.
Well, then you would already be a good Berean. It says in Acts 17:11 that the Bereans searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. They didn't even listen to what Paul said and take it as the gospel without checking the Bible. So good on you.
Yeah. Well, I think there's just so many pieces of information out there, Tim. It's been a pleasure, sir. Let's not make it another 6 months before we chat with you again. Let's try and get something in here just into the summertime. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Colin. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Tim. An absolute pleasure, sir. Tim McHyde, ladies and gentlemen. I have to tell you that Tim scared the bejeebers out of me.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said to them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
And what a scary thought and conclusion to hear what is in the Bible and what isn't in the Bible, what is truth and what is fact or what is fiction. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting the ding-dong from the control room telling me that we're almost out of time. So whatever you do, wherever you go in this world, you be careful, okay? My name is Colin Knight. This has been a live event of the Night Zone. It's been a pleasure. Good night.
What a fantastic night. Tim McHyde from BibleProphecy.com. If you get a chance, go over to Tim's site and have a look around. It's well worth your look-see. Well, that's it. That's all. Another edition of The Night Zone. Next week, John Hoag and 2009 predictions. Make sure you tune in for that show. In the meantime, in between time, that's it. That's all. Another edition of The Night Zone. Good night.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com.